Welcome back to another episode of Mastering Social Media for Schools. You guys, I feel like I just met the most humble version of like Superwoman ever, Elizabeth Beadle. She's out of Middletown in Ohio, and she has some great things to share in today's episode. She's going to talk about methods of getting content in this virtual environment. She's going to break down how she schedules posts and the best posting times. Get it straight from her on, when is the best time to post. She's really going to dive into her relationship with Superintendent Marlon Stiles, who was a previous guest on our podcast. And she's going to talk about what their plans are to address racism this school year and some of the plans that they have in place to do that. I want you to listen in. Elizabeth has so much great knowledge to share. Let's get started. I'm Andrea Gribble, a Wisconsin mom who got laid off from her corporate career and jumped into entrepreneurship, not knowing exactly where that road might lead. I'm a natural-born cheerleader who discovered a way to cheer on schools through the power of social media. Turns out, social media isn't easy. I had to figure out what I was doing, and now I'm here to teach you everything I've learned. The Mastering Social Media for Schools podcast gives you simple, actionable strategies to celebrate your students and connect your communities through the power of social media. Join me as I pick the brains of experts across the country to bring you the best tips and tricks to make your school social media shine. All right, it's time for this week's K-12 PR tip. We always love to kick off every episode with a helpful tip. And today we're talking about posting times. Did you know that it actually matters when you're going to post content out on social media? We have four best posting times, and I'm going to deliver it to you right now. 6 a.m., like first thing when people get up, people are looking at social media. 7 to 8 o'clock at night, right? People are finally, the kids are getting in bed, they're kind of unwinding, they're looking at social media. And if you have more content, if you're posting more than twice a day, some other times to look at are pickup time, especially when your schools are in person, right? When parents might be in the carpool lane of picking up kids. And then also lunchtime is one of our top posting times of when people are kind of taking a look at their social media profiles and trying to get caught up. So 6 a.m., lunchtime, pickup time, and 7, 8 o'clock at night. Hope this tip helps. Elizabeth dives into a lot more in today's episode, so I can't wait for you to listen in. Welcome to the podcast, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We were just chatting. Elizabeth is usually behind the scenes. She's a little nervous that she's on like camera, although you're not on camera, you're just on microphone.
Right, but still nervous. I tell everyone else, oh, you'll be fine, you'll be great, and here I am.
Now you have to like take your own advice. Well, yeah. I'm really excited to share with all of the listeners who you are, because we got introduced to Beast Mode, right, by Marlon Stiles in episode 11, but now we have you here in person. So if you could just introduce yourselves to the listeners, that would be great.
Sure. I'm Elizabeth Beadle. I'm the communications specialist for Middletown City Schools. We're located just outside Cincinnati, kind of between Dayton and Cincinnati. And I've been in this district for just about 3 years. And I was in another district prior to that, as well as an ESC, Educational Service Center, for a brief time before Marlon stole me to Middletown.
Hey, good leaders always steal the best people. So that's great. So how long have you been in school communications?
About 6 years, just over six.
Okay, great. And then what does your team look like as far as your communications team at Middletown?
Me.
Okay, so you're one person?
One person. Luckily, I have Marlon Stiles, our superintendent, who is just a rock star at embracing communications and knows how important that is. So he is always willing to dive in. So we laugh that we're a team. We're the communications team. Of course, yeah. He's the superintendent too.
Right. And then how big is your district? About how many students?
We have about 8,300 kids.
Okay. So that's a big district for one person. So everybody out here listening, and some of you, I know some people that have a one-person shop that have almost 20,000 students, which is way, way crazy. But you also have an awesome staff, Elizabeth, right?
Right.
And they really embrace social media too.
Yeah, right? Our teachers have jumped in. Our admin team has jumped in. Everyone just loves the power of social media and telling our own story. I think for so long, our town, our district, we kind of get picked on a little bit in this region. I don't know if you've heard of Hillbilly Elegy, that book. It's a national seller and it's coming into a movie this fall, directed by Ron Howard. Didn't paint us in the best picture, in the best light. And so people really wanted to hit back and say, you know, we're proud to be from Middletown and we have a lot of really awesome things going on. And so our staff has jumped on board totally with what we're doing.
That's powerful. And when you can have a staff of hundreds telling mm-hmm. the positive stories, that's been great. And you've been on a journey. So you started about 3 years ago with the district?
Yes.
And was that really when you grabbed onto the hashtag Midi Rising? Or can you talk about that a little bit?
So yeah, Marlon started in the district 3 years ago. He's just starting his fourth year. So he started, you know, in August, and he came up with the hashtag Midi Rising. And then I came along in October. The previous PR director got a job in out of state, so they needed someone. So I came in, and I just loved that concept of having something to really attach yourself and then build on. And everyone relates to Midi Rising in some way. You can ask one of our kindergarten students, you know, a month into school, what does Midi Rising mean? And they'll tell you their own little definition. So our teachers, even if they're not on social media, have embraced that hashtag and what it means.
And I can see it behind you. Obviously, again, the listeners can't, and we're going to link up all of your like social channels and everything so people can definitely follow the hashtag. So what does hashtag Midi Rising mean to you?
I think it means that we all have a chance to make ourselves better, our situation better, that no matter what, you control what happens and you can just rise up and be a better person than you were the day before.
It's inspirational in just one short phrase, right? Hashtag Midi Rising, which of course, when it's the hashtag, it's all one word.
Right. But
there's probably never been a time, Elizabeth, in your life or mine where rising up to meet any kind of challenge is more important. We're at the fall of 2020. You guys just started school. Talk to me a little bit about what school is like right now in Middletown.
Sure. So we actually are starting remote. We're the only school district in our county to go full remote. Dayton Public and Cincinnati Public, so we're right in the middle, they went remote. But all the other kind of suburban districts are all in person or some sort of hybrid mode. So that's been challenging because we have a lot of parents and teachers, you know, why are we going remote? Why do we have to do that? And so Midi Rising, I think, is really helping people, you know, that camaraderie. We're still together. We can still do this and it's going to be okay. We can rise above it. So that's been great. It's just something that everyone knows and they're ready to latch onto.
Yeah. And this is going to air in early September. So it'll still be pretty pertinent to the beginning of the school year. Do you have any like tips or things that you could share with our listeners right now, as far as there's a lot of listeners that are going full remote, any lessons that you've learned so far?
Oh gosh, we're week two into full remote. And I think just going slow and just remembering that this is hard for everyone. You know, we have Spanish-speaking parents that don't speak English, and so they're trying to figure out how to get their kids connected and on Zoom. And so having a good relationship with your liaisons to work with those parents, or we have parents who don't own computers. How do we get devices in their hands and reliable internet? And the kids are having to teach their parents how to use technology. So it's exciting. It's an exciting time. But it's scary for people, so just slow walk people through the process.
Yeah, and how have you been able to use social media so far? Has it been, I'm assuming it's probably much quieter than it usually is because mm-hmm. there's so much other stuff to focus on, which I just want to tell everybody, give yourself patience and grace because, you know, we want to celebrate what's going on, but we know that it's a big learning curve. But have you been able to share some things out on social media so far?
Yeah. So I feel like all summer it was putting out fires or, you know, every day it was something new and, you know, early July, we were going back 5 days and not even requiring masks, and now we're full remote. So summer was a little crazy, but now, you know, I put out a fun little story. We have one of our paraprofessionals. He lost his arm a couple years ago in an accident at the fire station, and now he's a professional bodybuilder. And so I reached out, got some pictures from him, shared that out, and I mean, I think it has over 400 likes and shares, and people just, thanks for the positive. I'm so glad we have a role model like that in our schools. So trying to do a little staff shout outs, you know, maybe once or twice a month or something, not even school related, just kind of fun. So people can see that life is still going on behind the scenes and we have a rock star staff teaching your kids.
That is really powerful. So when I was looking at things before we got on, I saw that story. I just shared it on my page. I think that's incredible. Like you said, it's not what he does at the school, right? But it's obviously showing who he is.
Exactly.
And you even have a little quote from him. So you were still able to grab that story, even mm-hmm. though all of you aren't in person. You know, talk about that as far as just, you know, maybe some strategies right now that all communications folks across the country are probably having to do a little bit of. How do we grab those stories and find those stories and still share them if we're not face to face?
Right. So I put out an email to staff last week, kind of sharing our spirit shop for staff. And then I ended it with, if there's any cool stories that you're doing in your classroom or in your personal life, you know, share it with me. And a few pictures, and I'll toss it up on social media so everyone can see the wonderful things that you're doing. And I had another teacher, he just responded to me with his little story and a quick quote and a video that someone had put together for him. And so I'm planning to release that later this month. And so people kind of start seeing that, and teachers see that, and then okay, it's okay for me to share something personal with you. And so it's been fun. And there's sometimes, you know, I on social media a lot, obviously. So I might see something that someone's doing and I'll quickly reach out to them, send them a direct message or an email. Something else, our teachers are still in the buildings. So we're full remote, but our teachers are in the buildings. So I was at one of our elementary schools today planning a monthly Twitter chat. And then I quickly walked around the building and snapped a few pictures of staff teaching. So again, to show parents that staff, they're in the buildings, they are working, and they are teaching their kids.
Right. That's really powerful. And you can share some of those pictures today if you wanted, but you could save some of those photos too, right? And put those out later.
Definitely. Yeah. No one has to know when I took the pictures, just right. As long as they're not, you know, a Santa Claus in the background.
Yeah. I love it. And I'm sure that you're being careful. We had kind of talked about if your staff, obviously if they're probably in the room by themselves or taking, I see one's a selfie. So obviously they didn't necessarily need their mask, but if they do have a mask, making sure that their noses are covered and things like that, that you're making sure of. Have you gotten any real negative feedback that you've really been overly concerned with, or has it been overall pretty positive?
Overall pretty positive. Staff, they've been doing a good job. If I do see any pictures of people who maybe, you know, social distance but no masks on, I'm not going to share that. I know they're being safe, but you know how it is, that perception, the way it looks. I just don't want to open us up to criticism when everyone's doing such a wonderful job and they're teaching our kids and just working really hard. So I am hesitant on a few of those things. And I just remind people, if you're going to take a picture, please mask up. And really, it hasn't been a problem.
Yeah, I took, it was back to school actually today for my daughters. And
I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah. And I went in and was able to take a few pictures. And one of the teachers, I wanted to take a picture of her. And she's like, well, let me get with my aide and get close. And I'm like, I'd rather just take single pictures. You know, I just feel a little safer, even if you have your mask on. Mm-hmm. You know, social distancing is something to be aware of what you're putting out there, right? Like we have enough issues to deal with. It's like, we don't want to add one more. And so I love it that you're being careful and gently reminding. And I think our staff is pretty open. I just want to point out for everybody, and whether you're listening to this later, I'll try to get a direct link, but on your Facebook cover image, because a lot of people ask this question, Elizabeth, they're like, what should we be putting for pictures on our website or on like our cover images on Facebook and Twitter? I see that you have four masked photos, yeah, with the word inspire, unite, transform, which I love. But you can you kind of talk about your thoughts about sharing that?
Sure. Every once in a while I change out our cover photo, and we did device pickup our first technical week of school, where the kids and parents came into the buildings to pick up their Chromebooks and a hotspot if they needed it, and quickly make sure they could log in. And so I went to all the schools during pickup times, and I asked permission, and I snapped their pictures. And kids, to their credit, I mean, they had to wear a mask to come in, but no issues. And parents were more than happy to have them take that picture. But I just wanted to show people that we are being safe. Our kids are wearing masks, even when they come, they're remote, but even when they come into the schools, they're masked up. Our teachers are wearing masks. They're behind little barriers, that we're safe, and that we're taking this seriously because we want to get back into the classroom.
Yeah. And then later, when maybe masks aren't required, hopefully someday, that then you'll change that out again. But I think representing what things look like right now is really important. And you did it in a great way. So now you are a one-person communications department in a very lot, over 8,000 students. Can you talk about how you manage social media in a district that big? How do you manage to fit that in with everything else that you do? You have some tricks for us?
I don't know. TweetDeck is my friend. I don't use Hootsuite or anything like that, but I use TweetDeck to schedule out tweets, follow certain hashtags that some of our different buildings use, so I can, you know, retweet. So I always have that up on my second screen. You can't see that. It's over there. Facebook, I do a lot of scheduled posts every morning. That's kind of when I do my check-in, answer any direct messages. So it's really just kind of fluid. I've been doing it for so long, and 6 years in school PR, but then I was in, I had jobs prior to that in a different industry. And so it's really just kind of become second nature.
Right.
So, and if you get, that I had a secret formula that just really worked, but I just make it work.
Well, and I think you just brought up a big thing, is being able to schedule posts out so that you don't always like, oh my gosh, did I share something today? You're kind of always working ahead a little bit, mm-hmm, and getting those things out there so that you can do the rest of your job. And then as things come up, you could schedule them out, right?
Right. And I feel that our community, we're a little more relaxed here. There's down to earth. So I think they like, at least based on the likes and follows we get, that kind of real feel. I'm strategic about it. I know what time to post and, you know, things like that. But I think they like that easygoing feel, that I can just put something out there and it doesn't seem so scheduled. I'm not sharing something from Instagram and it's automatically going to other places. I try and tailor the voice to each platform. So that's just something I really work on.
Yeah, and giving it a social voice, not so it's like, this is the school and this is the announcement
we're going to talk about.
Yeah. So no, you talk a little bit about timing. So, you know, you kind of know when to post things. What can you tell me about that?
Well, during a normal school year, I'd say carpool pickup time is pretty big. But then late at night, so kind of like after dinner, after kids are in bed at like 7 to 8 o'clock, I'll schedule some like bigger things at that time that I really want to get noticed, because kids are in bed, day's finally done, and you're scrolling through your phone. So those are some big times that are first thing in the morning, especially if it's a video.
Awesome. Yeah, that's good. Well, we didn't plan it ahead of time, Elizabeth. But we manage social media at Social School for EDU for over almost 100 schools. Yeah. But those are our times too. Carpool pickup time. Evening is always the peak, like 7, 8 o'clock at night, like you said. And then first thing in the morning. And like you said, you know, I like the fact that you pointed out videos, because it's probably time where mom maybe, or dad, but mainly females on Facebook, haven't got the kids up yet. So maybe they'll watch that video, right?
Yep. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Matter when you're, you know, drinking your coffee, kind of getting your day started. Cause I do it. You know, that's kind of when I'm checking my social media feeds, that morning time. It's what I have set aside.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's powerful. So now you talked about your relationship with Superintendent Stiles, and he did, just so you know, again, his episode is my number one most listened to podcast episode. So go back and listen to episode 11. He was fantastic. But he put you in the top five school PR people in the country. So he set the stage for you, and yeah. I know people are getting a lot of value out of this.
I know. So, they're waiting for all my tips.
Yeah, and they've already been delivering, so it's been awesome. So can you talk about what your relationship looks like? Because I think this is so key, that there is such a strong relationship between the superintendent and the communications person.
Right? I know. I mean, you are your communications person, the superintendent. You guys are just privy to so much information that I need to know what he's thinking. He needs to know what I'm thinking. So we can get that message out and be transparent. If we're off sync, it's not going to work. So we just work really well together, and he values communication. He values this department. I wish, you know, every superintendent did. I think that, messaging to the public perception would be so much stronger for some of our public schools if, you know, if every school district had a communications department. So that's just been, it's been wonderful to feel valued to be on that team when typically you are kind of a one-man show. And again, just that value.
So do you have like a cabinet or like a leadership team with some of the directors? And then do you sit in on those meetings?
Yes. Yeah, we meet every Monday morning for a few hours. And if we can't meet or even after the meeting, we have a text message chain, and it's fun. We talk about, you know, tech serious things, but then people will just post funny GIFs, and we work really well together. So you could go to anyone on our team and you know that they've got your back. They know what's going on in your department, in your world. So it's definitely a value to have your communications person sit in on cabinet meetings.
Yeah. And you have to, I mean, you're listening with an eye on how do we communicate this, or, oh my gosh. So sometimes you probably have to challenge like what's being said and ask, right. Do you feel like you developed that relationship over time? You know, you've been there 3 years, right?
Yeah. In October.
Yeah. Okay. So you've been there 3 years. So did that just kind of happen over time where you felt that ability, or?
I kind of felt it right away. I mean, I'm quieter by nature, so a lot of times I am just kind of sitting there and taking it in. But that level of comfort and ease on that team was just wonderful. So it made my process of kind of loosening up a lot easier to be able to jump in. And, you know, and I'm not an educator. Most people on the team, you know, maybe not the treasurer, they have some background. They were teachers, or, you know, they've been in schools for years. So when they're talking jargon, they're talking how they want to get something across. I'm like, I don't understand it. I don't think, you know, mom and dad down the street, they're going to understand that. How can we break that down to a level of understanding? So I hope I bring something to the team by doing that to make them think a little differently.
Yeah, that's powerful. And again, yeah, just want to really reiterate the importance, one, of having a communications person. There's so many districts. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of schools that are very, very small. But I have a friend that's in a district of just 700 students and in Wisconsin. And she had worked in from a part-time to a full-time position. And the things she's been able to do for that district are amazing. And so it is a very powerful role, which every school should realize now, right? After what we've been through the past 6 to 8 months, how are you holding up among all of it? Because I know, you know, I just had Krista Majette actually, and we're talking about wellness in your position, because you're dealing with a lot of stressful things, things that are needed urgent. How do you balance it all?
It was hard, so hard. I think also, you know, I decided to be really crazy and take on, so the city of Middletown has a PR person, and she went on maternity leave beginning of May, and I work really well with her and know a lot of the same players in the city. And so she asked if I could fill in some of her duties while she was on maternity leave. So, you know, I had a 4-month-old baby, a 4-year-old working from home. Sure. I'll also do some social media work for 3 months. So May, June, and July are a little crazy.
And you have a 4-month-old baby and
well, now he's 10 months. So I guess during the pandemic, he was 4 months.
Yeah. A 4-year-old.
Yeah. Who's bored.
My gosh, Elizabeth, I can't even believe it, but you survived somehow.
I somehow survived. But it was good. I kind of like that crisis communication and being busy and trying to think of things from all aspects. And I think it worked out because I knew what was going on in the city side and the police side and fire side. And then obviously the city. So it really helped some of that messaging and making sure everyone was on the same page.
Okay, great. Well, I was also going to ask you, you know, Marlon's episode happened right after the unrest with George Floyd, and we really talked about equity and racism in our schools. And now looking forward, I know you're not in person yet, but looking forward for Middletown, do you have any plans on how to address some of those topics with your students and staff?
Sure. So we actually have a diversity team that was put in place in our current strategic plan that's been doing some equity work, but more on the poverty side. We're a 100% free and reduced district. So definitely needing, you know, to know what's going on with our students in poverty has been helpful. And they had a plan to actually address some race and equity issues this coming year. So that was helpful that there was already kind of a movement in place to start pushing the district to start, you know, addressing these issues. So I've been planning out some videos for this year, like I do for a variety of topics. But one of the ones we really want to dive into is racism and how that affects our students and our staff and community members. So we're going to reach out to our local chapter, the NAACP, and another organization that helped organize an equity walk back in June to do a video on race, very raw, have people alone in kind of confessional booth and just tell their story and help people open their eyes to what some of our students and staff experience and how we can help move that process along.
Very personal, especially right within your school. So that's going to be a powerful project. And we'll make sure that we're watching for it, that we can help share that, because that can be an inspiration for others. Well, our time's gone fast, Elizabeth. And you, I have like I'm scribbling notes down here because I like to kind of highlight things. So we went over so much. Is there any one final social media tip that you'd want to share out there for everybody?
I think just be yourself, find your voice, and really take a chance, whether it's, you know, your professional account that you're getting up on Twitter, you know, dive into that. Check out, do some Twitter chats. If you're managing, you know, your school account or a district account, make sure your voice is authentic, authentic to the district, authentic to you, and just be real and personable so people can connect with you and the district.
Yeah, because part of social media is being social.
Right.
And they don't want to talk to a robot. They want to talk to a person. And so that's powerful. Go ahead.
I always try to stay. So like you said at the beginning, I'm in the background a lot. So when I'm tweeting out on behalf of the district or putting out a Facebook post, I don't want people to know that's coming from me per se. Like when they read it, I want them to think of the district. I don't want them to think of me. I feel like I'm always representing the district and doing my best to promote the students and the staff and not myself. So that's just something I do.
Right. That is an important tip because sometimes people can get confused. Like they'll be posted on the district, but it's like the superintendent, various people in there, which is another reason to kind of have that voice. It's important that probably one main social media manager, even if you don't have a specific person, but somebody is kind of responsible. I think that helps. Yeah, definitely. Well, Elizabeth, where can people stay connected to you personally? On Twitter, would that be the best spot?
That'd be great. Yeah, I'm at Eliz_Beetle
Okay. And it's BEADLE. And we'll have that linked in the show notes. And then we're also going to link out all of the Middletown social pages so they can follow you on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or YouTube.
LinkedIn too.
And LinkedIn. Yes, I have that on there as well. Check it out because you can definitely use LinkedIn for your.
Yes, or find me on LinkedIn too.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And thanks everybody for listening in. Until next time, have a great week and keep telling those stories, guys. Bye, Elizabeth.
Bye. Thank you.
Well, that's a wrap. Another episode of our podcast. I hope you learned a lot. And if you did, you should hit subscribe, right? Have you subscribed to this podcast yet? We come out with new content every single Monday. We're interviewing great guests. We're uncovering great tips that are going to help your school. Hit the subscribe button. And if you haven't left me a review yet, I'd love to hear from you there. So just hit a review. Now, in the show notes, you can actually sign up for my newsletter. You guys, socialschoolforedu.com. We've been serving schools since 2014. We just focus on social media. And if you want helpful videos and blog articles and links to other helpful content, you're going to want to be on that free newsletter. So check that out in the show notes and get signed up today. SocialSchoolForEDU.com is our website. You can check out more of what we offer there. My mission is to help schools celebrate what's going on in their districts with social media. We work with public schools, we work with private schools, we work with charter schools, and we share all of our experience through free content and through some paid services, which include a membership program, a webinar pass. We even do full management for schools. We just want to make social media and celebrating schools easier. So you can check out more at our website, socialschoolforedu.com. Until next time, guys, keep telling those stories.